It's a little after 20 past six, so let's grab a word with Fevzi Turkulp, our tech expert, the gadget detective, with some of the latest tech stories doing the round. Apple making some headlines, Fevzi. What's this all to do with the battery problems on its new iPhone?
Yeah, deja vu, huh? So Apple announced the iPhone 8 and the iPhone 8 Plus, which are very similar to the 7 and 7 Plus, except that there have been some cases reported of batteries expanding and sort of splitting the phone open. I'm laughing because it's not something that should happen. We don't know yet whether it's a very rare problem or whether, you know, a particular production run of batteries or so forth has caused this. You may remember Samsung had similar battery problems with the Galaxy Note 7 smartphone last year, and it suffered a lot of reputational damage, even though it dealt with it in the right way. So we don't know yet what the cause of this is. And, you know, with so many phones sold, you would expect that there will be some problems. And battery technology, these lithium-ion batteries, it's not a perfect technology. You know, they it doesn't take much to make them burst into flames and so forth, and particularly as manufacturers are trying to squeeze more and more battery life into a fixed amount of space. Sometimes, you know, a design problem, for example, could mean that the lining isn't thick enough and it punctures the lining and that happens. But it's interesting because this particular problem usually happens when a battery is at the end of its life and the battery kind of expands just before it dies, like a giant whale or something. But it remains to be seen, but they are looking into it. So what does that mean for us? It means if you already own an iPhone 8 or an 8 Plus, obviously keep an eye on it. I personally, for a period of time, would charge it during the day rather than overnight when it's, you know, resting by me whilst I sleep. I'd be a bit cautious about it, and I'd be cautious about the surface that I put it on when I'm charging it. That's not to say your iPhone is going to burst into flames, but I would be a bit cautious. And if you're at all worried, you know, you usually get a 14-day period in which to return it anyway. And just keep an eye open. If, however, you haven't bought one but you're minded to, might be an idea just to wait a bit. Let's see whether it's a problem and how they're going to resolve it.
Yeah, for the likes of Apple, and you talk about Samsung, those very well documented problems. I mean, really, I mean, battery technology has been around for so long. I'm amazed they haven't got to the bottom of it and sussed out what the big issues are and crack it.
Yeah, lithium-ion technology has an inherent problem in that, you know, it is not a completely stable chemistry, and under certain circumstances, for example, if a perfectly functional battery inside a smartphone is dropped, it can cause a spark. This is one of the reasons, by the way, why we're asked not to use our phones at petrol stations, because you get petrol vapor, and if you drop your phone, theoretically at least, you could spark it. So the technology itself needs to be replaced. The Samsung problem happened because they were trying to squeeze more efficient battery into the space, and therefore they made the lining too thin. It wasn't, as is usually the case, a manufacturing problem. The problem was they just skimped too much on the protective coating. And to their credit, Samsung put their hands up to it and said, look, it's our fault, it's not manufacturing fault, it was our design that they followed. And I think for that they earned a lot of respect from shoppers, and now I think they're going great guns again. And I, you know, probably one of the Samsungs will probably one of the safer phones now, because they won't make that mistake twice.
Really interesting, really interesting. Staying with phones, Microsoft appears to have abandoned its smartphone operating system ambitions.
Yeah, kind of made me sad, actually. They have an operating system called Windows 10 Mobile, and the idea behind it was that it was an incarnation of Windows 10, and you could buy or download these things called universal apps, which would run not only on your smartphone and tablet, but also on your desktop, just, you know, a completely universal app. And conceptually, it was great. The problem was they came to the party a little bit too late. It was, you know, they had an earlier operating system that wasn't very good for a mobile device, and by the time they made one which was better, they'd lost too much market share. So in my view, the Windows 10 mobile operating system was a great operating system, and particularly easy to use, you know, big buttons to push on it, nice big letters and all the rest of it. So it was a nice phone operating system. The problem was it wasn't being supported with third-party apps, and Microsoft were paying companies to produce apps on their platform. So, you know, the version of, you know, various apps that you expect to see. But they were just too late. They were, I think they were about 0.3% of the, 0.03% of the market at this point. And they even bought Nokia, if you remember, and brought them in-house and dropped the Nokia name and just called them Lumia phones. And they were, I've got a couple of those phones and I'm sort of sad. I can still make calls on them, but they're not gonna produce any new features. All they'll do is do some security updates and
stuff. But who uses a phone? Who uses a phone to make a call, Fevzy? Blimey.
Well, I know, it's a bit old school. But I tell you what, though, watch this space, because I wouldn't be surprised if Microsoft in a year or two or 3 years has another crack at this when things move on, because they can't afford to move out of the mobile operating system space altogether. In the sense that mobile is, you know, kind of where it's important. They've lost, you know, they rule desktops and laptops, but desktops and laptops becoming less important. Smartphones and tablets are, you know, where the money is at the moment.
Sure. A minute to tell us about your gadget of the week. I like your gadget of the week. What you got?
Gadget of the week is a webcam from a company called Logitech, who are well known for making, to be fair, very good webcams, probably best in the industry as far as sort of consumer webcams go. They've launched one called the Brio, B-R-I-O. Don't start me, ask me what it stands for, because I don't know. But it's probably the best webcam that they've ever produced, possibly the best one on the market, in that it shoots in 4K resolution video. So, you know, we've got HD screens on our TVs, and if you took four HD screens and put them in a 2x2 grid, that's how many dots you have in 4K. So it streams or resolves or records that many pixels, and it does it in good quality because it uses a technology called HDR, or high dynamic range. That means the blacks are blacker and the whites are whiter, so you have much more contrast. So, you know, where you see it on some sort of films like Alien, if your TV's not an HDR TV, you can't work out what's happening in the shadows. You know, it's just a little bit, or if it's a snow scene, everything is blown out white and you can't make out the detail. So HDR solves that. So this is fantastic. It's a £200 webcam. You can buy it for a little bit cheaper than that if you shop around. Not every service at the moment will allow you to stream in 4K HDR, but my argument is there are some already that do it. And if, let's say, you're a video blogger or something like that, or you do podcasting, or, you know, you have aspirations of in media of some sort, it's far better to record all your much hard worked over material in the highest possible quality you can, even if you have to squash it down to get it on, you know, YouTube or what have you. In the future, you'll be able to remaster those or go back and just take high quality clips from it. So I would say storage is cheap. You know, disk drives, you know, are capacious and relatively, you know, cheaper than they've ever been. Better to record everything in 4K, and then if you need to squash it down for a while, then do that. I think it's money well spent. So it's called the Logitech Brio, 4 stars out of 5.
Fevzy, great stuff. Fevzy Turkel, the gadget detective.
BBC Radio Oxford.